He's good. Will it play, though? That's the question. Or will it simply gag the machine? We have yet to see. Come on, come on. Here we go. Maybe it's going to happen. Or wait, could, nope. Oh no, it wants a codec I don't have. Sorry, David. Let's see, what would be good? What if, let's see, we've had what stories? And you know, that's one of the things with John Boner. Orange, there's nothing that nothing rhymes with orange. But this is for you, John Boner. By the way, the lines are open. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. We are into January. We are off to our usual start. And if you want to hit the PayPal button on this Prayer Meeting window edition, get some bills paid at the front end of the month instead of sweating them until they're overdue. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. Like I said, this is the Horn. R.E.M., Orange Crush.
Yeah. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Brock.
6 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of The Horn. I'm Bob. And like I said, lines are open if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. All clear? Email comes into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. And we still got there's a stack of stories to get to. It's not necessarily technically a religious story. It's just almost as silly as religion. You know, I've said in the past that if Barack Obama was rescuing kittens from burning tree, the teabaggers would scream that he had set the tree on fire to make himself look good saving kittens. You know, because they're insane. Well, I've got an example of that. But first, a little bit of history. Do you remember that picture of Richard Nixon that was put out there a million years ago? If you were of a certain age, you might remember this. The picture of Richard Nixon walking on the beach at San Clemente. And he's out there walking on the beach in those Brooks Brothers Oxfords of his, or maybe they were wingtips, God knows what. Remember that? Yeah, me too. Looked like he was just totally clueless. You know, about the nicest thing I can say about that greasy-headed old B-movie actor Ronnie Reagan is that when he went to California, he at least put on some California dude ranch clothes and went a-riding of his horse. Richard Nixon walked the beach in a suit and Brooks Brothers dress shoes. And he looked about as out of place as a crab at an Arthur Murray dance school. How's that? Just looked dumb. Well, apparently over at Radio Rwanda, they don't have that kind of long-term historical memory, or maybe they do, and they just happen to know that Emery and Eileen and Mervyn and Marvelline don't. Well, I say that because, bless his heart, Simon Malloy over at Media Matters for America had a post today. And he opened the post by saying, to be a regular viewer of Fox and Friends, you know, that's that morning romper room they run on Radio Rwanda, is to have your expectations lowered every day, owing either to incurable optimism or terminal naivete. And I don't think it's either, Simon. Between you and me, I think it's just that desire to watch a train wreck. It's human. It's the same reason people go to NASCAR. You know there's going to be a wreck, and you want to watch it happen. Each morning after I click it off, I find myself thinking, well, there's no way they can possibly get any dumber than that. And then Simon adds, I've never been proven right. Meaning, yeah, they can. By way of offering, we have kindly provided by Simon Malloy at Media Matters for America, one of the best organizations going out there. I'm sure there's some way I could convince them to give the Horn a check. What am I saying? This, really, it's precious. I promise. Here we go.
Speaking of vacations, look at the cover of the New York Post this morning. The headline is, should the leader of the free world dress like this, even on vacation? And what they have done is they have chronicled presidents in the past, and they've realized that with the president wearing, as you can see right there, flip-flops,
it might be the first.
Absolutely the first. Doug Weed, the presidential historian, says this is the first time he can remember in history where you can see the president's toes.
Oh, my God, his toes? Not his toes? What will we...
My friends, what will we tell the children? Somebody call Daryl Issa. We need an investigation right now. Send 1,000 subpoenas to the White House. We want to know what... Are they Kenyan Muslim toes, my friends?
Really? Sorry.
He get a pedicure. That's what I want to know.
I think President Polk had sandals.
Did you catch the babbling blonde bobblehead? The bubble-headed bleach blonde that comes on at 5 that can tell you about the plane crash with the gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die, give us dirty laundry. Did you catch the babbling blonde? What I want to know is, did he get a pedicure? See, that's real cute because that way you're implying that he's not a real man, that he's all feminine and sissy, probably gets a pedicure, probably has that clear nail polish on until he gets out of his flip-flops, and then Michelle puts some real nice pink on his toenails once he's going to be wearing socks. The subtle bigotries and racisms and slurs that just ooze out of Radio Rwanda like something out of one of the Ghostbusters movies, really. It never ceases to amaze. But, okay, now that we know, well, no, we don't know if he had a pedicure. Nor see the presidential toes. We can't. See, this is what happens when you don't know history. Or when you assume that nobody else does and you can get away with it, too. See, they don't know about, but, you know, bless his, I am forever in debt to Jeff Biggers for all the neat, fun historical facts that I learned in the United States of Appalachia. One of the patron saint books of this network. Because if you read that book, you'll find out the story of a woman named Anne Royal, who was absolutely single-mindedly devoted to the idea of getting the telegraph funded by Congress.
Well, that's unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Congress Constitution about funding the telegraph.
Well, it didn't slow down Mrs. Royal.
She walked down to the Potomac, where the president at the time, Martin Van Buren, I believe, or maybe John Quincy Adams, I think it was Van Buren, was wont to take his daily bathe. No running water in D.C. at the time. So he'd go down to the edge of the Potomac in good weather, and probably didn't smell real good in bad weather. Go down to the edge of the Potomac in good weather and strip down to his nothing. And go for a little swim in the Potomac. And Ms. Royal learned a little bit about that, and she went down one day and collected his clothes while he was in the water. And she said, Mr. President, I'll give you a choice. You can go back home fully clothed and agree to push for funding of the new fangled telegraph, or you can walk home naked. You choose. He chose to have his clothing. He chose wisely. And that was the beginning of the electronic communications age. And you know what? She saw the presidential toes. Really, we've reached a level of conservatism and puritanism that approaches the most puritanical ever in history on the planet. When you've got some babbling bobbleheads on Radio Rwanda querying as to whether someone saw the presidential toes. Let's go back. Come on, guys.
Speaking of vacation, look at the cover of the New York Post this morning. The headline is, Should the Leader of the Free World Dress Like This Even on Vacation? And what they have done is they have chronicled presidents in the past, and they've realized that with the president wearing, as you can see right there, flip-flops...
It might be the first.
Absolutely the first. Doug Weed, the presidential historian, says this is the first time he can remember in history where you can see the president's toes.
But did he get a pedicure? That's what I want to know.
I think President Polk had sandals. Let's look back at some of the other... I'm pretty sure. The sandal, but they had the strap, the Moses-like sandals. They just throw straight across. They don't utilize the separation between the big and the second biggest toe.
Nuts!
Do you remember how other presidents dressed on vacation time? You got President Kennedy, who liked to sail. That looks presidential.
He didn't wear socks with his topsiders.
Right.
All right. And then President Reagan really brought in the cowboy boot, which George Bush also did as well. Both of them, I think.
And then next to him, you can see George Herbert Walker Bush, and he's, it looks like a shot from Kennebunkport, their family home there. And the final screen right is a guy to the right, George W. Bush, a clearance brush out in Crawford.
Yeah, and President Bush wore Crocs with socks.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that was good. I actually think sandals are presidential.
You do?
I think that's as presidential as he gets. It says, I'm naturally president.
Actually, it doesn't bother me at all. Nothing does. If he would have had on a full snowmobile suit, it would have been fine with me, too.
Right.
As long as you're enacting policies that the American people want, who cares what you wear?
Well, is he?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, see, he's not. That's because he's a Kenyan Muslim fascist Islamist. Let him finish, Bob.
It's the question. I don't really care what he wears.
So what do you think? Answer the question on the post today. Should the leader of the free world dress like this even on vacation? Friends at FoxNews.com. We're going to talk about this a little later on.
And I know they went out of their way to make sure they didn't have any shirtless shots this week.
Like
Vladimir Putin and President Obama in the past.
Well, I'm in favor of those two.
Right. You're pro-shirtless.
You know what I love best? I loved it best when George Bush went on vacation with the King of Saudi Arabia and kissed him square on the mouth. That's what I liked, and walked holding hands with him through the bluebells. Talk about your don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bless you, Simon Malloy. Bless you. At Media Matters for America, MediaMatters.org. And bless his heart, he also provides one of those pictures of, lo and behold, George Bush in short pants, just like Barack Obama, but wearing Crocs with socks. I'll never forget the horror that Peter Godbold once reported when he said, I have received a pair of Crocs. Bob, I can't. I just can't. Damn. But Simon asks a question. Okay, so why report on it to begin with? Because it's a mindless cheap shot at Obama, and it plays to the Fox News Radio Rwanda audience, which is always hungry for reasons to dislike the Democratic president. That's why, despite their unanimous agreement that the story was completely unimportant, Fox and Friends returned to it a couple of hours later. Then again, what's her name? Gretchen Carlson, the bubble-headed bleach blonde. He says, as for Carlson's claim that she doesn't care what the president wears, she wasn't so apathetic last June when she blasted Obama for wearing, quote, fancy pants and a fancy shirt. Jesus, why didn't she just accuse him of wearing a stunning cocktail frock while touring the oil-covered Gulf Coast beaches because, quote, 80% of public perception is image, not what you say, unquote. But Simon's learning. Simon says, but again, if you think this is insurmountably asinine, just wait until tomorrow. And there's so very much truth in that. Oh, Jesus. Why report on this stuff? Because it's valuable, you see, to know how the right wing builds its smears. And make no mistake, that wasn't idle happy talk banter. That was a real live, honest to Jesus smear. It contained subtle racism. It contained subtle homophobic bigotry. But then again, there was nothing so subtle about a guy, a real jackwagon, named Jacob Folkman. Jacob Folkman? Yeah? Jacob Folkman is a political expert. What makes Jacob Folkman a political expert? Well, he's an Ultimate Fighting Championship fighter. He's one of those guys that gets inside the steel cage death match and kicks and claws and bites and scratches and punches and, yeah. I see that on the television in the living room and I start screaming, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. It's supposedly what they called mixed martial arts, which means there's really not much illegal that can happen inside that chain link cage. So, he was asked by a person named Ariel Helwani of something called Fan House about who he wants to fight next. Let's go to the audio again, shall we?
Ariel Helwani post-fight at UFC 125 alongside Jacob Volkman, who defeated Antonio McKee tonight via decision. And, Jacob, congratulations on the win. Antonio talked a lot going into this fight. Did that motivate you at all?
Not really, because I didn't really read any of the stuff he was saying. I never listened to what he was saying. People kept on trying to get me to watch what he was saying. I don't really care about that stuff. So I was just motivated because I wanted to be the guy that hasn't lost in 7 years. So that was pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's tough when you look at a guy who hasn't lost in that long. It's hard to watch his tape and really find a lot of holes.
Now, before you send me an email saying, "Oh, Bob, we're tired of hearing about sports," just listen.
I mean, no one has been able to figure him out in so long. What were you looking at when you were watching his tape and thinking that you could exploit those holes in his game?
Well, his biggest thing is he backs up quite a bit. I had a hard time staying on him because he was looking for me to come after him kind of hard so he could lower his level and shoot his power double that he's got. So I had to move to the side quite a bit and pretty much stalk him without giving up a takedown, which kind of hindered my punching because I didn't really get to throw many punches either.
Interesting that second round, clearly I thought you won. Third round, clearly he won. First round was the one that I didn't know whether or not the judges would score it in your favor or his favor. Two of the judges scored it for you. One scored it for him. Did you think you won that round?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I was positive that I won the first two rounds.
You know, and so far it's boring. Then again, I don't really get off on boxing or mixed martial arts kick scratching or whatever it is that they do in their little steel cage. It doesn't do anything for me. Mostly I'm not so crazy about boxing because outside of Manny Pacquiao, there's just not much to watch. But this stuff, this ultimate fighting BS, there's less than nothing. Recognizing, of course, different strokes for different folks. But that's not why we're listening to all this foolishness. Not at all.
Took him down right at the end of the what was first round. Mm-hmm. So I had pretty good confidence.
But I mean, it's pretty straightforward, boring,
he's a guy,
right?
Who, you know, it seemed as though he was getting frustrated, especially in the third round. It looked like he was saying to you that you weren't.
Nothing will ever touch those great interviews between Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. Champ, you were awesome tonight. It looked a little bit like Frazier was going to get to you, but eventually you prevailed. Oh, Howard, that's because I'm pretty. I'm pretty, Howard. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was great. It was great, great sport and spectacle. This, not so much. But you know what? It's about to get more interesting.
Engaging him enough. Did that bug you?
Yeah, that bugs.
Because that's something that people have said about him as well.
Because he was backing up so much. I had a hard time. I didn't want to rush at him.
I mean, you wouldn't expect there was anything coming out of this, would you?
Double leg could take me down. Then I'd have to deal with getting off the mat, and then you burn so much energy getting off the mat. And then he's pretty good with his elbows, so why would I run at him?
Good with his elbows?
Ever since you dropped down to 155, you look like a different fighter. Things have changed for you. Why?
I'm not a different fighter. I just learned from my first two losses against two really good guys, Campman and Thiago. I learned quite a bit of stuff. And the intensity is a lot more than you'd expect. I was doing one or two workouts a day. I had to move it up to two to three after I realized that the UFC is...
Wait. One thing. Are you noticing the accent after one or two workouts a day? Where have we heard that before? Just saying. It's kind of like there's a signpost up ahead, you know?
So overall, though, you happy with your performance tonight?
Not really. I need to work on my hands. I need to work on my...
And we're about to find out he needs to work on his brain.
That's my goal for my next fight.
Or he's taking a few too many blows to the head.
What do you think you did wrong there?
I was kind of high, first of all, and then I couldn't get under his chin.
That's kind
of
high,
yeah.
He showed
me a few things, the coaches were, of what I could do to get under his chin.
So now you got a big win over a veteran. Who do you want next?
It doesn't matter. Guida. I don't know. Actually, Obama.
Like, wow, you're calling out a Barack Obama right now. That's pretty big. That's ballsy.
He's not too bright. He made a lot of like the making home affordable plan and then his health care plan. Someone's got to knock some sense into that idiot.
Wow, this interview just took a whole turn into the political world. Are you a Sarah Palin fan? Please say no.
No, no, I just don't like what Barack was doing. Because I'm a chiropractor, mm-hmm. So I know the healthcare situation is not good, but he's making it worse.
This is the most I've ever seen you fired up.
Yeah, it's irritating. Because I'm starting my own business, and it's not real easy when you're actually giving insurance companies the power to decline you and not pay you.
What kind of business? A chiropractor practice?
My own chiropractic clinic, yeah. Wow. In White Bear Lake. Had to throw that in there, right?
Yeah, very nice. All right, well, congratulations. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year, and we look forward to what's next.
Thanks.
Yeah, so do I. Guess what? Meet the new Joe the Plumber. Where'd you get that? It allows insurance companies to turn you down. Because the whole business behind the Affordable Care Act was allegedly to stop declining of health care coverage. Now, a lot of us are skeptical about how that will work. Oh, yeah, sure, you can have coverage for, you know, $50 million a year. We're not declining you. We're just constructively declining you. But even the American Chiropractic Association says the Affordable Care Act helps, quote, advance the cause of the chiropractic profession. Like I said, this guy's taken a few too many shots to the head. But there's nothing new in it. The folks at Think Progress also refer to Baltimore Orioles slugger Luke Scott. I didn't know that Baltimore Orioles had any sluggers. No offense, but I mean, you know, Jesus. How many years has Baltimore been in the cellar? He insisted the president is a communist who's destroying America. Oh, look, shades of R. Lee Ermey. And that he wasn't born here. But bear in mind, this Volkman guy actually said he wants to do physical harm to the President of the United States. And you know what? He's not going to be visited by the Secret Service. He's not going to be publicly shamed. He's not going to be run out of Ultimate Fighting. You know, he's just another American that wants to beat the shit out of the president because he's a fascist, communist, Kenyan Muslim. Jesus. The more ends ye have always with ye. Yeah, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Half past the hour, 30 minutes or so left in the program. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Will from Chicago here.
Hey, Will, welcome back.
Welcome, good to be here. I perhaps should call in as Rabbi Will from Chicago to say that the pugilist you had on fits the definition of a Yiddish term, meshugana, meaning crazy.
No, I know from meshugana.
Yes, I was going to say, so far between him, Bachman, Bona, and a few others, it seems we have a whole delegation from the state of Meshuggah. But this is how poor our discourse has become, that we actually have people talking openly about hitting a president of the United States. As much as I disagreed with the policies of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, as much as I thought Ronald Reagan was a disaster, I would not wish any harm for them. I might actually wish that they face the full weight of the legal system and that they have their day in court like anyone else for their actions. But guess what? That is a whole other thing from saying, I want to hit someone. This sort of rhetoric encourages fanatics. As crazy as this guy sounds, there are people out there who are even crazier who will do things like we saw with a small plane at an IRS building in Texas, by a Unitarian Universalist church in Knoxville a few years back.
There you go.
For that incident. And
or went to shoot up the Tides Foundation in San Francisco after exactly, viewing months exactly upon months of Glenn Beck.
Right, because heaven forbid, if they are godless or godly liberals, they have to be a threat. Never mind the fact that the insurance industry actually likes this health care bill because they get customers. Never mind the fact you brought up about the Chiropractic Association. What they have to sell is fear. FDR once said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. All the GOP has to sell is fear and hatred. And my worry is that we will see a rising tide of fanaticism and with it accompanying violence.
Well, no offense, Will, but we'll see? Future tense?
Oh, we will see more of it. I have a penchant for understatement, almost on par of Noah's wife saying, honey, it looks like rain today.
Right.
They get the last animals. And I mean, consider this. If you go to the Southern Poverty Law Center site, you will see an upsurge in hate groups in recent years targeting Hispanics, African Americans, other minorities. Heck, when I lived in Phoenix, I reported two swastikas that were spray painted. And I honestly worry that we have people who are willing to do rampage.
Well, yeah, Will, I'm not kidding.
Not enough in the grave.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding when I call Fox News Radio Rwanda. They are.
I know you're not, because guess what? The guy for the Tides Foundation practically worships Glenn Beck as a prophet by his own admission. So, again, I mean, they kind of remind me of the Jack Nicholson line when he played the Joker in the Michael Keaton Batman movie, where he says, well, you can't have an omelet without breaking a few eggs. That's how cynical they are. And they really don't care, because so long as their backers have power, so long as corporations matter more than flesh and blood humans, oh well. A few people get targeted, a few people get threatened, a few people get...